Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Traits that the children of the Father exhibit that show that they are related to the Father. You know, it's not about an encounter with God that makes us God's children. It's not about a season. I was a Christian for a while. It's not about a season that makes us a genuine believer, a child of the Father, so that the DNA is passed on so that we look a lot like. It's about a genuine filling of the Holy Spirit of God in our life, that there is a DNA placed in us, a spiritual DNA of God that shows that He's your Father.
What traits did you inherit from your parents? Do you have your mother's eyes, your father's nose, or maybe it's not a physical resemblance, but you've inherited some of their mannerisms and temperaments? The same is true in your faith journey. Your spiritual father has passed his traits on to you. Depending on who your father is, different traits will show up in your spiritual life. Today, Pastor Troy will teach you to ask the soul-searching questions that will uncover the answer to this important question. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 8 as he begins his message, Who is your Father?
John chapter 8, verses 37 through 47. The title today is, Who is Your Father? Not like Star Wars.
I am your father.
Although, it's very interesting, who we're going to discover might be our father if we're not careful. You know, there's a philosophy in the world called universalism. It's called universalism, and it basically says that God is everyone's father. It's universal. God is just naturally, universally, everyone's father. We're all brothers and sisters. God is all of our father. Now, while it's true that we all do come from one family, and that is Adam and Eve, some try to go, no, there was a flood that judged everyone, and it was Noah and his family. Well, Noah and his family came from Adam and Eve. So we all come from Adam and Eve, or if you want to reduce it down to Noah's family, we come from there also. But we all come from one family. So in that sense, we are very, very distant relatives, the human race. We're all related. But while that's true, it is not true that God is the universal father of all. It's just not the case. In fact, some who think that he is their father, they go under that assumption out there in the world. Well, he's our father. They're going to be shocked to find out that he isn't their father. And that's what a group of people hear today for the very first time, that he's not. Because of the moral condition of our nation, over 220,000 paternity tests are performed in our country each year. And it's to determine who the father might be. Who is the dad? Sad, but it's the case. There are more children today who don't know exactly who their father is than ever before. In fact, it's not uncommon to hear someone say, I never knew my dad, or I don't really know who my dad is. Well, today, we're going to take a spiritual paternity test. It's not that complicated, really. I can ask for blood. That's been poured out. I was looking at Joshua here recently. That's my son. You don't know that. And I noticed that he looks a lot like my dad. Now, I was up at my relatives today, and they kind of were staring at him. We don't go up there very often, but I said, man, he looks a lot like you when you were younger. I said, yeah, you know, he looks even more like my dad. He He looks just like my dad. I remember standing there helping him, you know, teaching him to shave. And so I'm really close and cutting his hair here for cap and everything. And I'm standing there going, man, it's like cutting my dad's hair. This is so weird, raising my dad. And I said, well, I always wanted to spank him. Come here, Joshua. No. You know, my son does look a lot like my dad. He looks a lot like me. He looks a lot like Ophelia. You can see us in there, and you can really see it in mannerisms. There's just some tendencies, some things that happen that you don't try to make happen. I remember one time, my dad went in one time. He grabbed a graham cracker. He went out, and then as he grabbed the graham cracker, he went over into the kitchen, over the sink, broke it, shook it off, and then started eating it. And Glenda, who was his wife, was there, and I grabbed a graham cracker. I went into the, broke it, shook it off, and started eating it. Glenda saw the whole thing. She just cracked up. She said, you guys are just alike. We didn't plan it. I didn't know he did that. I didn't grow up around my dad, really. From the time I was like 15, 16, my parents were divorced, separated and divorced. And before that, my dad wasn't around all that much. But I picked up a lot of tendencies. So we begin to look a lot like those that we're born from. It's just what happens according to the DNA. Well, it's like that spiritually as well. There are traits that the children of the Father exhibit that show that they are related to the Father. You know, it's not about an encounter with God that makes us God's children. It's not about a season. I was a Christian for a while. It's not about a season that makes us a genuine believer, a child of the Father, so that the DNA is passed on so that we look a lot like Him. It's about a genuine filling of the Holy Spirit of God in our life, that there is a DNA placed in us, a spiritual DNA of God that shows that He's your Father. And then we begin this process of sanctification where we begin to look a lot like Him. People see Him in us. The world doesn't recognize it. They just see you as nice. They just see you as changed, different than you used to be. A person who knows how to love, generous, those kinds of things. A person they can trust. They don't know it's the character of God. They don't know God. But people who know God, they get to know God. They can begin to see the brethren. They can see it. It's a lot to take in when we first hear that God is not everyone's Father. For some, it's news that hits them right in the chest. What? Because they're banking on it. But it's just not the case. And so we're going to start with a premise. We're going to start with a premise first. Then we're going to look at some pretenders. And then we're going to consider the paternity test. So let me read the text, verse 37. As Jesus starts speaking, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So here's the premise. The devil is real. And he influences. The devil is real. Jesus refers to the devil here as being real, not fake. In fact, he refers to the devil as being just as real as Abraham, a real historical figure. Also, Jesus refers to the devil as being a person and not a metaphor or a concept. Notice the personal pronouns that Jesus uses when he refers to the devil. He, him, not it. Not a concept, not a force, like the Holy Spirit. So many make a mistake of referring to the Holy Spirit as some force. But the Lord refers to him as a he, a him, the third person of the Trinity. God. I can't say God in the flesh because the Holy Spirit has no flesh, but fully God. Verse 44, Jesus says, he does not stand in the truth, that's the devil, because there is no truth in him. Now, the idea here is that he was once in truth, but he doesn't stand in it. He did not receive, he did not accept, he did not hold on to, he did not stay there, but he stepped outside of it. And he is a liar and the father of lies, because at the creation, all was good. But Satan, Lucifer, the devil, lifted himself up with pride. Because it is very hard to be around the praises of anything, of people, and not to try to steal a little bit when it should all go to God. And Satan was lifted up with pride and he was brought low. And so he has been the great deceiver and the great tempter, seeking to cause men to do the exact same thing, to feel they don't need God, that they can actually steal from, take from, they can take for themselves. Who did this? I did it. The scripture says, who gave you the ability to gain wealth, to gain what you have? But we can have a tendency to think, my goodness, my greatness, my study habits, my diligence, my perseverance has done this thing for me.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on building on the solid rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share on the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about building on the solid rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
There are many diligent people who persevered who didn't get everything. See, God is sovereign. God is in control. It's God who gives the ability. It's God who allows. It's God who's in control. And so all glory should go to the Lord. But we have an enemy, an invisible enemy, who doesn't want the glory to go to the Lord. At the same time, though he seeks glory for himself, he's very tactful, and he stays behind the scenes. Notice in the Old Testament, he never really reared his head. Oh, he reared his head in all of the attacks. But you never really heard about him until who surfaced? Once Jesus came into the light, then Satan resurfaced. The last time we'd heard from him was pretty much way back in the garden. But he stays sort of hidden because he knows that is the greatest tactic. Not that we believe in him, but that we don't even realize he's there. So we start with this premise, that there is a deceiver, one who influences. Because most people today, to most of them, the idea of a real historical, personal, fallen being called the devil is nonsense. Did you know that? It's like Greek mythology to them. It's just made up, just someone's idea, a way to blame something else, something you can't see. It's out there. The devil made me do it. They say it's man's attempt to shift blame so they don't have to deal with their own guilty conscience. And it doesn't help that cartoons and shows have turned him into a cute little red guy with horns. A Gallup poll showed that 70% of Americans believe there is a devil. However, only half of those who believe in a devil believe that he is a personal, real being. The other half believe he's a metaphor or a symbol of evil. The Barna Research Organization asked the question straight up, and they asked the question to those who confess to being born-again believers. Not just, are you a Christian? Are you a born-again believer? Yes, I am. So their question was posed this way. Do you believe the devil is not a real being, but is just a symbol of evil? Of those who claim to be born-again Christians, 32% of them said that they strongly agree with that idea. That he's not a real being, that he's just a spiritual influence or a concept, but not a person, not a being. 11% said they agreed somewhat, whatever that means. Somewhat. And then 5% said, I don't know. So if you add that up, that means 48%, that's almost half, of those who were asked, born again Christians, polled, said they don't know or don't believe the devil is a real being. A literal, real, personal being. Now, I don't know what Bible they've been reading, but they need to read the Bible. Because the Bible doesn't describe Satan as a concept or a force, but as a literal deceiver, a literal being who caused the fall of many other beings with him and who seeks to take us down as well. That's what the Bible seems to say about him. And he stands to deceive and oppose the truth, to influence. And he's making a mess of the world, and his fingerprints or his DNA are in so many things when you really look at it. I remember looking into the Mormon church because I had a girlfriend who was a Mormon. I didn't know much about it. I had just given my life to the Lord not too long before that and didn't know how to walk the walk. And so I didn't know there was a great difference in Mormonism or anything else. And as I began to look into it, I started to see the fingerprints of Satan. But it looks so nice and good. But you look at their main temple in Salt Lake City, Utah, and you see the offering of fruits and vegetables, fruits, grains to the Lord. And it looks wholesome and it looks good until you really recognize that was the offering that was rejected by God between Cain and Abel. Or the fact that they will not place a cross in any of their churches. And their answer is, well, if your father was killed by an electric chair, you wouldn't wear a necklace of an electric chair, would you? Well, I would if he said, remember the electric chair. Keep it ever before you. Pick up your electric chair. Sit in your own electric chair. Die to yourself. If he said all that stuff and made it that significant, I'd say it'd be an important reminder for me. So you see the fingerprints of Satan in the temple. You won't hear about this unless you know people on the inside or those who've come out of all of this. But they dress themselves up, the priests do, when they go through certain ordinances, and they will actually clothe themselves as they do like this internal ultimate marriage ceremony between a man and a woman they have to go through in the Mormon temple where they got the holy underwear placed on them and everything else. That they strap on them a green cloth to represent the leaves that were the unacceptable covering in the garden. It's like the fingerprints of Satan in this supposedly wholesome religion. You see it. Satan is real. So many things that they do. Baptism for the dead. We could talk about all sorts of things where if you stand back, you can see the fingerprints of Satan in a religion. It's to deceive. Satan is real. He seeks to oppose the truth and to deceive from the truth. And Scripture says he'll even appear as an angel of light seeking to deceive. He won't always show up like some gruesome horror movie being. He'll show up and deceive. Joseph Smith, who built up the Mormon church, said that he was seeking the Lord. And the Lord showed him that none of the churches were the true church. They had all gone astray and that he needed to start over with him. Which would fly in the face of God's word to Peter, which says, hey, on this confession, you're the Son of the living God. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Your name is Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, that would cause that to be a lie. The fingerprints of Satan all over the place, even in things that can look so wholesome. The question has been asked, if a tree falls and no one is around to hear it, does it really make a sound? Well, yes, it does. It still produces the sound waves, doesn't it? Even if someone's ears are not there to receive those sound waves, it doesn't mean the sound waves weren't produced. Well, in the same way, whether people are willing to receive it or not, doesn't make it real or not. Whether or not God is real, whether or not Satan is real. They are. And Satan's greatest victory is in our not believing in him so that we don't stand against him. You know, in martial arts, one of the things they teach you is the most important thing is to be ready, to be on guard. When you're walking towards your vehicle at night, don't just, got the headphones on, yeah. You're going to get attacked. But if you are constantly aware of your surroundings, you're less likely to be attacked because they're looking for the element of surprise. And so when we're aware, we're more protected. And guys, there is an invisible enemy. There's an invisible world that we need to be aware of that is influencing. And the world has his DNA. The world has his fingerprints all over it. And it's not necessarily in all of the evil and wickedness. Some of it is in just busyness of life. The things busy about things that don't matter to heaven or eternity or God at all. His fingerprints are all over the place. So a second part of this premise, not only is he real, but everyone has a relationship with him. The devil. Yes, everyone does. Either he's your spiritual father, you have his DNA, you have his fingerprints all over your life, or God is your spiritual father and he is your antagonist, your enemy.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Needley will teach again in the book of John, as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have